We have been, for those of you who are visiting with us today, and we do have a lot of folks visiting, we're glad to have you here. We've been doing a study on experiencing God, looking at various aspects of what it means to experience God, to get to know God, not just by reading about Him and finding out information about Him, but to get to know God by our experiences. And so we talked about an awful lot of different things in this whole idea of this experience that we have with God that helps to bring us into a closer relationship with Him. And especially over the last several weeks, we've been looking at really four different areas of experiencing God. We began this four-lesson series in talking about experiencing God through our joys. And then we talked about experiencing God through our sorrows. Last week, we talked about experiencing God through our tragedies. And this morning, we're going to finish this four-lesson series in talking about experiencing God through our triumphs, okay, or the victories that we have in life. And again, you know, the main point of this is to help us to grow in a relationship with God where we get to know Him by experience rather than just learning information about God. And so this morning, as we begin talking about the idea of experiencing God through our triumphs, then one of the first things I want you to think about and realize is if you look on your outline that you have here in your bulletin, that triumph or victory is born out of trials or struggles. In other words, what we have to realize is that without struggles, without trials and tribulations, there would be no victories. Because victory or triumph inherently requires that there be something that we are victorious over. Does that make sense? You see, so you've got to have the trials and the struggles and the tribulations and all of those things in order to be able to experience the triumphs or the victories. Victory comes only after the struggle has been overcome. And so what we need to understand from that is that God allows us to face various struggles and trials and tribulations as we go through this life so that we can experience the victories and the triumphs. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, in other words, James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So here James is giving us an example of why we need to have the struggles, we need to have the trials, he says, of many kinds, because those are the things that strengthen our faith, don't they? You see. So God allows us to go through those things so that we can become more mature and we can be strengthened, and that's what God does for us. Look over in 1 Peter with me for just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, in talking about and trying to encourage folks about the idea of saying, look, you know, we've got something to look forward to down the road here. You see? And he prepares us by looking at this, talking about this inheritance that we have in this living hope. That's what we have to look forward to. And look at what he says beginning in verse 6. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." So you see, again, God wants us to be able to experience triumphs. He wants us to be able to experience victories in life. But in order for that to happen, God recognizes and knows, and He tells us that we've got to go through some trials, we've got to face some struggles in our lives. And those are the things that help refine us. They make us better, you say. Those are that kind of take off some of the rough edges and help us to be more of what God wants us to be. You see? Now, what does God really do for us? In other words, how do we experience God while we're in the midst of some trial or some struggle or some tribulation? We've been talking about over the last few weeks here. How do we experience God? And what does God do for us when we're in the midst of those things? Well, turn over to Psalm 20, the text that was read for us as we began this morning. I want you to notice what the psalmist tells us here and how encouraging this really is. Now, you know, you think about the situation here. You've got a king who's sitting on a throne. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you, whether you like the President of the United States or not, okay, how many of you think he's got a really, really easy job? Nobody. All right, good. Because it's not. Okay? It is not an easy job. Okay? Being the leader of a lot of people is not easy to do. Because you've got not only this stuff going on with you, but you got everybody else's stuff going on that you, in one way or another, have to pay attention to. So, a king, or in our case today, a president, has a lot to be focused on. Okay? And the reason I mention our president is because, you know, we talk about a lot of times, you know, we need to be praying for our leaders. You see? Okay? We need to be praying for our leaders because they've got a lot of responsibility. Okay? And this psalm is an example about why that should be. Okay? Look at what the psalmist writes here. And in talking about the responsibilities, really, of a king. Look at what he says. May the Lord answer you when you are distressed. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. And we will shout for joy when you are victorious, and we'll lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Wow. Some of the translations will say, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. You see, God is the source of the help that we need when we're struggling in life, isn't it? That's what we've got to be able to take away from that. God is there to help us. And that's how, when we're in the midst of struggles, when we're in the midst of trials and tribulations, we can experience God, His help. You see, as the psalmist says here, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress, and the name of the Lord protect you. When you experience God's protection, and God's salvation in terms of through your struggles and through the trials that you face in your life from day to day or from time to time, you experience God that way, you are experiencing victory or triumph. God may not always fix whatever the problem is that you're facing, but the victory, is more importantly, is seeing you through that problem to the other side. Being able to get you through to get your feet on the solid ground, right, the other side of the Red Sea. You see? That's what God does for us through those things. But there's some things that we've got to keep in mind about that. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You may or may not agree with me on this, but I think that our greatest struggle that we have in life is life itself. Okay? Think about that. That's the greatest struggle that we have. You know, we deal with all kinds of little stuff from day to day in our lives and things that sometimes we get, you know, really flustered about, and we get into disputes about things that really don't matter a whole lot about anything. But it's just life itself. In other words, one thing, I don't know if you realize this, but, you know, you ain't getting out of this life alive. Okay? Alright? You're not getting out of it alive. Life is tough. It's a struggle from the time we come into this world to the time that we leave this world. We face struggles. Okay? That's life. Okay? And what we have to realize is as we go through life and we face these struggles, we can experience God and His power working in our lives to bring us victories. And it's victories in not just the big things, but even those little things that we sometimes get so distracted with in our life. God is there to see us through those things and give us those victories. If you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to call your attention to an important aspect of this whole thing about our struggles. That, as I said, life is a struggle itself. Okay? The Apostle Paul here, in writing this letter to the church in Corinth, was addressing a big concern of Christians in the first century church. Their concern was that what's going to happen to people who have already died that are Christians before Christ comes back again. And this whole issue about a resurrection and everything was somewhat uncertain in the minds of a lot of people. And so Paul spends a lot of time in the latter part of this letter talking about the fact that, first of all, yes, indeed, there is a resurrection. And then he talks about, in this last part, we're going to look at about what happens in this resurrection. Okay? And I want you to read with me, beginning in verse 50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. He says, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep or die, is what the reference is here, but we will be changed. That's why I said we ain't getting out of this thing alive. You may not physically die, but you are going to physically change. Okay? From a physical person, physical body, to a spiritual body. Everyone's going to have to change. Why? Because you cannot inherit the kingdom in the body that you are in. It's not going to happen. Because we're going to be going to a spiritual kingdom. So Paul wants to understand, you're going to have to change. Your body is going to not, you're not going to go to heaven in this form. Those who don't go to heaven aren't going to go in this form either. It's going to be a spiritual form, not a physical. Let's continue reading on. He says, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, that's, in other words, when our bodies change, okay, when the physical body is gone and the spiritual body is taken over, that's when the victory comes. You see? That's the final victory or the final triumph. Look at what he's saying here. When that happens, okay, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in what? In victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, my brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, the reason I'm pointing this part out to you is because when we are in the midst of struggles, when we're in the midst of trials and tribulations, isn't that where it's the toughest to really hold out and to stand firm and to keep pressing on? I mean, you know, when things are going well, when life is good, it's easy to keep moving forward, isn't it? But it's when we're facing the struggles, when life is tough, that we just sometimes want to give up. We don't want to continue because it's too hard. it's too difficult to keep pressing forward. But what Paul wants us to understand is when we keep that victory in view, when we keep what's coming, what's ahead in view, the encouragement is to stand firm. Let nothing move you. Don't lose sight of the victory that is ahead. Keep pressing forward. Realizing that, you know what? Life is a struggle. It's always going to be a struggle. That's life. But God has something so much better for us in a victory through the blood of Jesus Christ. That victory that calls us home to be with Him.
Amen.
But in order to triumph, in order to be able to feel that victory and to receive that crown that indicates that we're victorious, we've got to stand firm. We've got to continue pressing forward. We cannot give up.
Amen.
And what is the main thing that allows us to do that? What is it that keeps us pressing forward? What is it that keeps people moving and not giving up? It's one thing, and that's faith. Faith is our victory. Look over, we're going to finish up here in 1 John chapter 5. And look at what John has to say to us about that. Again, throughout this whole study, the one thing that we've been talking about, the key to all of this, is relationship with God, isn't it? You see? It all comes back to that, our relationship with God. Without that, we have nothing, and we certainly have no experience with God. But that's the key, is the relationship that we have with God. Look at what John says, 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, it's all about that relationship with God, isn't it? It's all about believing in Him. And it's not just an intellectual acknowledgement, but it is that which causes us to obey Him. That's what He's talking about. He's talking about faith here. You see, it is that which causes us or moves us to live in obedience to God, to obey His commands, as He said. There is the proof positive that we have been born of God, you see. And that faith is what brings us to victory. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. See? But faith is that thing that moves us through whatever the struggles, whatever the problems, whatever the hardships are. Faith is what moves us to victory. Faith is what moves us to be able to experience the triumph that is there. The victory, then, is assured by our faith in Almighty God, in Christ Jesus, His Son. And that's what it's all about. You see, then we have the experience to be able to share with other people, as we've been talking about all along. That's part of what experiencing God is all about, that I have my experiences to be able to share with others. And so as I go through life, and as I face the struggles and the trials and the tribulations and the hardships that I face in life, as God helps me to work through those, and my faith carries me to victory in all of those different things, then I've got something to be able to share with other people. And that's what God would have us to do. Hopefully, through this part of our study, you've been able to see that, you know, our emotions carry us through a wide variety of things, don't they? In this life, we experience a lot of joys. A lot of times where life is just good, it's fun. But then also, as we saw, we face a lot of times where there are sorrows in life. And as we talked about, that particular part of our study was really when we lose a loved one to death. The but that's perhaps the deepest time of sorrow in our lives. And we see God working in our lives through those times of sorrow. And then there are those times when we face tragedies of all different kinds. And we look for God to help us through those tragic moments and those times where life really is difficult. And ultimately, when we are going through those things, it may not feel very good. But we keep our faith intact and we focus on Jesus, and He sees us through to the other side. Through our faith, we experience the triumph through God in our lives. I don't know what's going on in everybody's life here today. Just the fact that we've got more than one person here in this room is proof positive to me that there are people in this room who are experiencing some times right now of great joy in your lives. It also tells me that there are folks in this room right now that are experiencing some times of sorrow. Some of you, I know, have recently lost some loved ones. I know also that in this room there are people who are experiencing some times of tragedy. That in your life right now there are things going on that have been very tragic. I know also that all of us in this room together, no matter what's going on, as we continue to move forward in our faith with Christ, then He moves us closer and closer to the victory that He has promised to us. But whatever is going on in your life, it may be times of joy, it may be times of sorrow, it may be times of tragedy. But whatever is going on in your life, my point is to try to encourage us all to keep our faith and keep moving forward so we can ultimately experience the victory in Christ Jesus. If you're struggling with something in your life right now, maybe it's a time of sorrow that you're facing and you need some encouragement or guidance. Maybe it's tragedy that you're facing in your life and you need some help with something. Maybe it's just something that God has blessed you with in such a way that your life is full of joy right now, and you want to share that with us. That's what we do as family. So if there's something that you would like to share with us, and we would like to know about that. If there's someone here this morning that's not a Christian, you're ready to give your life to Christ, and I encourage you to take the opportunity to do that right now this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then acknowledge Him as such. Call upon Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from Him. And have those sins washed away in baptism. You can do that right now. All you have to do is come up and let me know if that's what you're ready to do. Ken will be in the back. If you see anyone who would like to have a private prayer or a private talk with him back there, otherwise,